Glory to my Guru, Sri Krishna Guruji. In the previous episode, we completed through verse 13 of chapter 14. In that, Lord Sri Krishna has taught Arjuna about the qualities of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And the Lord has taught that each guna binds the soul in its own way. So we continue with the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 14, the Yoga of Division of Three Gunas. This is chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. When a man dies during the preponderance of sattva, he obtains the stainless ethereal worlds, heavens, attained by men of noble deeds. Dying when rajas predominates, he is born among those attached to action. Even so, the man who has expired during the preponderance of tamas is reborn in the species of the deluded creatures, such as insects and beasts, etc. This ends verse 15. In these two verses, we have learned that only those who die during a preponderance of sattva attain any heaven. Dying when rajas is the highest, one is assuredly reborn. But from tamas, think about how low a birth you might experience. We all have the opportunity in this human life to rise. We can help ourselves by adapting sattvic qualities. You may remember in chapter 6, Lord Sri Krishna told Arjuna, one should lift oneself by one's own efforts and should not degrade oneself, for one's own self is one's friend and one's own self is one's enemy. So from this, we know we can help ourselves to rise in this life. So we continue with verses 16 through 18. The reward of a righteous act, they say, is sattvic. It is faultless in the form of joy, wisdom, and dispassion. Sorrow is declared to be the fruit of a rajasic act, and ignorance the fruit of a tamasic act. Wisdom follows from sattva, and greed undoubtedly from rajas. Likewise, obstinate ira, stupor, and also ignorance follow from tamas. Those who abide in the quality of sattva wend their way upwards, while those of a rajasic disposition stay in the middle, and those of a tamasic temperament, enveloped as they are in the effects of tamaguna, sink down. This ends verse 18. Sri Krishna Guruji has previously pointed out here that these three gunas are lived out by material worldly people. Joy, wisdom, and dispassion are the rewards of those led by those of sattvic action. Sorrow is the reward of rajasic acts, and ignorance the reward of tamasic action. All three are present in varying degrees for the material worldly person. But in sattva, one continues to rise upward. In rajas, one just stays in the middle as he's bound by his own greed. And worse is the person wrapped up in tamas as he continues to fall in stupor. So we continue with verses 19 and 20. When the discerning person sees no one as the doer other than the three gunas, he realizes me, the Supreme Spirit, standing entirely beyond these gunas, he enters into my being. Having transcended the aforesaid three gunas, which have caused the body, and freed from birth, death, old age, and all kinds of sorrow, the embodied soul attains supreme bliss. This ends verse 20. The discerning person is one who lives the three D's of dispassion, detachment, and discrimination. Lord Sri Krishna is beyond the three gunas, and so then is the one who enters his being. Transcending the three gunas, one attains bliss. So what is bliss? Sri Krishna Guruji has taught that bliss is the state in which the pairs of opposites, such as good and bad, pleasure or pain, are no longer judged. The pairs of opposites still exist, but they do not disturb the embodied soul. As Guruji has said, there is no opposite to bliss. It is the state of complete equanimity. We continue with verses 21 and 22. Arjuna said, "What are the marks of him who has risen above the three gunas? And what is his conduct? And how, Lord, does he rise above the three gunas?" Sri Bhagavan said, "Arjuna, he who abhors not illumination, which is born of sattva, and activity, which is born of rajas, and even stupor, which is born of tamas, when prevalent, nor longs for them when they have ceased." This ends verse 22. A sattvic person is bound by knowledge, the rajasic person is bound by desire for the fruits of action, and the tamasic person drowns in his own stupor, falling further downward. The one who has risen above the three gunas is not bound by them. This person who has risen above does not have a preference. He may be in this creation as a sattvic person. He may be in this creation as a rajasic person or a tamasic person. He just doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It's not a case of apathy. It's a case of accepting what it is that the Lord has provided, being in a state of equanimity. We continue with verses 23 through 27. He who, sitting like a witness, is not disturbed by the gunas, and who, knowing that the gunas alone move along the gunas, remains established in identity with God and never falls off from that state. He who is ever established in the self takes pain and pleasure alike, regards a clod of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold as equal in value, is possessed of wisdom, accepts the pleasant as well as the unpleasant in the same spirit, and views censure and praise alike. He who is equipoised in honor or ignominy is alike towards a friend or an enemy, and has renounced the sense of doership in all undertakings, is said to have risen above the three gunas. He too who constantly worships me through the yoga of exclusive devotion transcends these three gunas. He becomes eligible for attaining Brahma. For I am the substratum of the imperishable Brahma, of immortality, of the eternal Dharma, and of unending, immutable bliss. This ends verse 27. The witness state is established by the individual. From the witness state, one observes the body and is not disturbed by the gunas. It is observed that the gunas act upon the gunas. Sattva acts in the sattvic, rajas in the rajasic, and tamas in the tamasic. The one beyond the gunas never falls from the state of equanimity. Possessing wisdom, they are without judgment of the material world. They are not swayed, thinking one is a friend and another is an enemy. He renounces a sense of doership, knowing that it is the gunas which are moving in the gunas. He knows all of this is taking place in the domain of Prakriti. So he constantly worships the Lord with exclusive devotion and goes beyond. This one can attain Brahma, but beyond Brahma, the pure devotee can reach the Supreme Lord, the substratum of all. So we will close this chapter. Thus, in the Upanishad sung by the Lord, the science of Brahma, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna ends the 14th chapter entitled The Yoga of Division of Three Gunas. We have completed chapter 14 today. Next episode, we'll begin a new chapter. It's chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Thank you for listening. God bless and lots of love.